Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Welcome to the JT and Looney podcast brought to you by Modelo, nice. The fighting spirit of Modelo. Tom, do you know what the number one beer in America is?
I believe that would be Budweiser, the king of beers.
No, it wouldn't. Modelo surpassed them all.
Wow.
Proud partner. Hey, we got one of the best partners in all of beverages and beer. So let me have my sip of Modelo. And thanks to Modelo, as we get into NFL free agent frenzy. I like the name too. I think I'm going to give credit to NFL Network and Andrew Siciliano because he actually opened up the broadcast welcoming everybody to NFL free agent frenzy.
Oh, great.
Wow. Was it a frenzy? Are you a buyer? Are you a seller? Are you doing nothing like the Cowboys? Are you in cap hell like the Chargers? Did you destroy your season because you paid Russell Wilson $240 million and cut him against the dead cap and are paying for him to play for the Steelers? Or do you have Minshew mania like
I have
in Las Vegas?
Oh, what a great chicken soup for the soul story. 2 years ago, the Raiders quarterback was working as a gardener. Now he's the quarterback of the team, which is amazing. And look at how many people try to make excuses for Sean Payton. And they tried to point everything at Russell Wilson. But, you know, I check my trusted quarterback rating every single week. Russell Wilson was actually doing fine. He doesn't scramble as well as he used to, and that used to be a big part of his game. But I really loved how they really tried to tweak that. And now, okay, now you got rid of Russell Wilson. Let's see what you can do.
Well, the way they got rid of, we've talked about that on previous podcasts. The way they got rid of him was vicious, absolutely vicious. Oh, he's not cool. He's not this. Oh, I'll shut the hell up. You don't know how he is in the locker room. The guy goes to Children's Cancer Awards every Wednesday. The guy has a captain on his jersey. And on the other side of the jersey, it's a Walter Payton Man of the Year patch, which you only get to wear in the league if you've won the Walter Payton Man of the Year.
Oh, yeah, so people get on his shit because he's square. The squarest person on the team is supposed to be the quarterback. Right? He's supposed to be the most level-headed guy. And yeah, he can get emotional. And he can yell at the wide receivers and the linemen at times if he wants because he's a leader. But take a look around. Is Joe Montana anything like Deion Sanders? No. You have the clowns on the team, and the clown is never the quarterback. The quarterback's the boring guy, and he's supposed to be.
The problem is I call it Vanity Fair syndrome. When you want to get on the cover of Vanity Fair more than Sports Illustrated, It has an effect on you. Russell Wilson married Sierra, who's a very good entertainer, but she's nowhere near the level of J-Lo and Beyonce, right. Taylor Swift. So he got weird. He got weird. He became a stepdad to a rapper, a rapper who had a baby with who Russell Wilson is married to now, Sierra. Seems to be a great stepdad. The guy wears shirts with no collars when he wears tuxedos. He stands on the red carpet at the Vanity Fair parties. So he became a guy who became like a cover of a magazine guy when you don't have to do that while you're playing football. Like Aaron Rodgers might want to be the vice president of the United States with Robert Kennedy Jr. That's something you do after football, not during football. So Russell Wilson weirded out a lot of people. And then Sean Payton got weirded out by him, which is fair. He's in charge. I wouldn't want to go to work every day with someone I didn't want to work with. He ran him out of Denver. Oh, isn't it funny that the franchise that's won six Super Bowls, six, the Steelers wanted him?
Yeah.
We're absolutely not talking about the Carolina Panthers or some franchise that's never won like Detroit. No, the Steelers wanted him for $1.2 million as Denver Tom's picking up the other $39 million.
And the way he behaves, you know, Vanity Fair stuff and show business stuff aside, but that square part of his personality, which somehow people don't like, is perfect for Western Pennsylvania. They want, you know, they want the, and, you know, they had to go, they put up with a guy who liked his ride his motorcycle without a helmet and was a sloppy drunk for a while in
Ben Roethlisberger. The first 5 minutes of the podcast, JT, we're supposed to mention the sponsor, and we're up against it. We're at 4:22. So I got to mention Bet Online, where the game starts. It's where you go when you want to bet on sports. And you smell that? That is the smell of March Madness in the air. Who's going to punch their ticket to the big dance? Are you ready for all those cliches? Are you ready for March Madness? It's always a lot of fun. It's always a lot of fun to bet on games. Go to betonline.ag to do it. And if you're friends with JT and Looney and you've never signed up there, you get a 50% welcome bonus at BetOnline. They've got all the latest odds for March Madness, college basketball, the NBA, the futures, NBA Finals, NFL. They've also got NFL Super Bowl futures as well. It's always kind of fun to put something down. You know, you get a team that's 80-1 that may win. You know, remember, go back in the hot tub time machine 24, 25 years ago, Baltimore Ravens were 80-1 to win the Super Bowl the year they first won the Super Bowl back with Ray Lewis and those guys the first time all those years ago. So go to betonline.ag, a great sponsor, and you'll get all the latest odds, and you can have a lot of fun there. Our great sponsor here on the JT and Looney podcast, BetOnline. Head there now, BetOnline, where the game starts.
What people seem to forget about this in all these markets, we're going to get into the quarterbacks coming up here momentarily. This is a special edition of the JT and Looney podcast, one of our strengths. I mean, Joe Rogan can talk about anything from space
Incredible.
To UFC, Bill Simmons, mostly NBA. We're kings of backup quarterbacks. You and I have PhDs
yes.
in backup quarterbacks, so this is going to be a good one. But if it doesn't work with the Steelers, let's just say Kenny Pickett outplays him, and they want to start him in week two. Well, they don't owe Russell Wilson any money. Just say goodbye.
Oh, Kenny Pickett cannot outplay Russell Wilson.
You're right.
Jesus Christ. That's why they got Russell Wilson. Oh, my. Yeah, Russell Wilson, throughout the Kenny Pickett was at the bottom near all the worst quarterbacks in the NFL all year with the quarterback rating. Russell Wilson was near the top. That wasn't the narrative, but there's a difference between a narrative, opinion, and facts. Americans have a big trouble with that. You see the recent poll where people have a lot of confusion between facts and opinions. And the fact was Russell Wilson's numbers were fine. The opinion was that he had forgotten how to play. He'll be fine. Kenny Pickett's no good. Russell Wilson, good.
Let's take a look at some of the quarterbacks here during free agency whenever you're downloading the podcast or watching it. Number one, Kirk Cousins, Atlanta, four-year deal, $180 million.
Oh, I saw your rant on Instagram. Rant away again. What a great businessman he has.
The guaranteed money at the signing was $90 million. The guarantee is $100 million. The contract could go to $180 million. I guarantee he'll get it all. You know why? He's gotten every penny of every contract before. He's the king. Like I said, everyone in their backyard who's a quarterback should have a shrine to Kirk Cousins where the wife comes out, you know, to water the flowers and goes, why is there a Kirk Cousins statue? And the quarterback who's 28 goes, because if it wasn't for Kirk Cousins, we wouldn't be getting $95 million guaranteed. Right. He's the king of the guaranteed contract. He had a beautiful goodbye to the fans of Minnesota. Everybody loves him. This guy lost a playoff game and went home and read bedtime stories to his sons. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have a bad bone in his body like Tebow, a man of faith who isn't afraid to tell you about his faith. And Atlanta, I talked to someone about this. And it was a great point. Arthur Blank is in his 80s now, the Home Depot billionaire who owns the Falcons. He basically just said, fuck it. I haven't won a Super Bowl. Matt Ryan blew a 28-3 lead to the Patriots in the Super Bowl. I got a couple more years to get a Super Bowl. Go get me the best quarterback. Kirk Cousins, the best quarterback available, Tom. He's an Atlanta Falcon.
Yeah, but remember, he's banged up, and Achilles injury isn't good, right? And different injuries that he had. Here's the problem with Kirk Cousins, and it's no newsflash. We talked about opinions and then facts. The facts are is he'll give you 10 great wins because there's 10 wins over 10 mediocre teams. The problem is the six, he'll lose to the six good teams. Then you're 10-6, and then you go into the playoffs and you play a good team. And so I'm hoping that, hey, you can get over that hump. John Elway had that reputation for a long time. John Elway did beat good teams when he was younger, but it took John Elway until his late 30s until he won a couple of Super Bowls. And if you win a Super Bowl, then you get rid of all those old reputations and bad press.
The second highest paid quarterback. You want to know, talk about the haves and have nots. We go from 180 million for Kirk Cousins. Next highest, 25 million, Gardner Minshew. Las Vegas Raiders, the team I worked for. If you would have told me, if I would have been just sleeping like Rumpelstiltskin for a year. And you woke me up and said,
"That was Ripple. That was Rip Van Winkle. That was Rip Van Winkle that was sleeping."
Thank you. Edit that, please. That was good. That's why that was good. Can you believe Gardner Minshew is the quarterback of the Raiders? Now, here's what I like about it. That guy commands the pocket. When he gets on his knee in the huddle, he could tell anybody, shut up, I got control. He wins games. He won the last ever game played at the Oakland Coliseum. That was big. Really? Last ever game the Raiders played in Oakland, Gardner Minshew won. For Jacksonville, he beat the Raiders this year. In Indianapolis, when the Raiders had a must-win game, knocked him out of the postseason. So he's a good player, and he's kind of one of those guys. He'll compete with Aiden O'Connell, but $25 million, the guaranteed, total guaranteed, $15 million on this. So Gardner Minshew goes to the Raiders. I think he's good.
Were you surprised?
Yeah, I was surprised. I had no idea. No one had any
okay.
idea.
People always think you have inside info on this.
Sometimes I do. I had none on that. Believe me, if I had that, I would have went out and bought 1,400 lottery tickets if I got Gardner Minshew right. But I'm pulling for him for obvious reasons. I want to see him do well. He seems to be a great guy. He has a swashbuckling mustache, long hair. Feels like he'll fit in good with the Raider Nation, and he'll compete against Aiden O'Connell. Hey, as I always said, Kenny Stabler ain't walking through that door.
Right.
Jim Plunkett's still alive. He could walk through that door, but he can't play right now. And I just spent the other day with Rich Gannon, who was a hell of a Raider quarterback and MVP.
Oh, my God.
Gardner Minshew will compete against Aiden O'Connell. We're going to do a draft podcast coming up in about 3 weeks, and we'll talk about what the Raiders might do there.
What was going on? I know we had texted about this, and I know that my mother was always very impressed because Rich Gannon's sister was a nun, or is a nun. What were you doing with Rich Gannon?
I host these things called Chalk Talks with legends in town. So mostly from the Raiders, but if a legend comes into town, part of my MC work is I'll sit down, kind of like a fireside chat that the presidents used to have.
Okay.
And we'll just talk football, and Gannon's one of the best because he's like a coach. And he told a great story.
Do you sit down like Charlie Rose style? Do you have two big chairs like that?
Two chairs. We sit across from each other and talk football.
Okay.
But a cool story he told. He really hit home with me, and it's a big part of this podcast. So I want to give credit to Rich Gannon. In the last 4 years, 30 head coaches have been fired. 30. Jesus. So we go from 7 to 6 to 8 to 7. You do the math. And with all these coaches getting fired, people don't understand that offensive coordinators get fired, defensive coordinators get fired along with them, plus staff, tight end coaches, all of this. And what happens is all of these young players, and let's stick with the quarterbacks, come into the league. They have their coach, their coordinator. We fire them too early. I mean, even Bill Belichick didn't get retained.
Right.
And then they go on to a new coordinator and a new coach who want nothing to do with that quarterback because they didn't draft him. It's not their guy, and they don't want to put their thumbprint on it. Brian Daboll with Daniel Jones is a perfect example.
And Sean Payton just did that with Russell Wilson. You know?
Right. So this is what happens. It just happens. It's a cycle, and we're in that cycle now. And a lot of the firings that have happened by these owners firing the coaches have failed and trickled down to the quarterbacks who lose all their faith in their good coaches, and then they have to start from scratch again. It's an unbelievable theory that Gannon explained to me better than that because he played quarterback there. Gannon played, you know, a number of years with John Gruden. He took him as a journeyman from Kansas City.
Yep.
Gannon went to 4 Pro Bowls, 2 All Pros, 2 AFC Championship games, a Super Bowl, an MVP, and a 2-time Pro Bowl MVP because he had his coach to work with him and mentor him.
And take a look at the NFL over the years. And Pittsburgh Steelers, I think, have had 3 coaches in our life. And how have they done as a franchise in our life? New England Patriots have had 1 since 2020. And how have they done over the last 24 years? So you take Baltimore with John Harbaugh, always good. Always winning 10, 11, and 12 games because they stick with, the good franchises, the marquee franchises, aren't firing coaches year in and year out, as are the teams that aren't doing as well in the NFL.
We continue with Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold, formerly from San Francisco.
Oh, please.
Sam Darnold now to Minnesota is going to get $10 million. The guarantee on that at the signing was 8.75. Sam Darnold's a hell of a quarterback. He was with the Jets. Classic example, like
they'll
Baker
always
Mayfield
hurt you. Yeah.
And other quarterbacks get drafted by a really bad team. They blame it on you. Then you become a backup somewhere else. And now he's going to have an opportunity to play in Minnesota. I have a feeling Sam Darnold's going to have a good year. Quote me on that. I think he's going to get to a market like that. Minnesota's never won the Super Bowl. I think he's going to fit in there behind Kirk Cousins, have no pressure on him to go out there and play his best.
Well, I don't see that. There's not necessarily, and I think it's who's that? Cosell, the guy that reviews quarterbacks, never has been impressed with Sam mm-hmm. Darnold. He's really pretty good at seeing things that we can't see. Those mm-hmm. scouts can do that. They're so good at it. Those guys that watch tape over and over and over again. And it seems like Sam Darnold would have done something so far, but you always hope for that story. That type of Jim Plunkett type of story or the Kurt Warner type of story where people were wrong because coaches are wrong about evaluating talent all the time.
Man, has New England fucked up the quarterback position since Tom Brady? Mac Jones, they basically threw him out of town. He was a pretty good player with Josh McDaniels as the offensive coordinator. That first year, he had really good mentoring. And then Josh McDaniels went to the Raiders. We know the next part of that story. The quarterback will be Jacoby Brissett. After all of this, with this quarterback carousel, New England lands on Jacoby Brissett, $8 million, 6.5 guaranteed.
Well, you know, he might be a guy that's not that bad over the years. Mm-hmm. But we don't know yet because of the way so bad luck throughout his career, wrong teams. Boy, getting drafted by the right team or picked up by the right team is so important. And Jacoby, they could do well. He's better than Mac Jones. Put it that way. But, you know, what might be happening in New England might be the New England we knew as boys all the way up to Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, which was irrelevant. And they've gone right back to where they were before.
I want to talk about one of the nicest guys in the history of the league, former Heisman Trophy winner Marcus Mariota. He ends up with the Washington Commanders that have the most money to spend in free agency, brought in a lot of players. I mean, they brought in a ton of players, but the worst teams bring in the most players in free agency. That's the key to this podcast too. The teams that do all the signings. Oh my God, they got 9 new players or 6 in free agency. Oh, those were the worst teams and some that had the most cap, but he's a nice guy. Mitchell Trubisky.
He's Hawaiian, by the way. That's why he's so zen. He's a Hawaiian guy. And he's another guy that in a lot of ways we keep hoping because he's fun and nice and kind, and that's important. That he's going to do well somewhere. God, poor Washington Redskins fan. Washington football team fan.
Yeah, I just mentioned New England. They have the 3rd pick in the draft. They're going to take either Jaden Daniels or Drake May. At number 2 is the Washington Commanders, probably Drake May. So Jacoby Brissett and Marcus Mariota are going to mentor not only first-round quarterbacks, top 3 quarterbacks. So that's why they were brought in here. They're called the
And
called
from
the
what
stopgap.
We've seen over the years, not for long. Because they used to mentor these guys for an entire year, like they did Carson Palmer back in the day, and all Roger Staubach, and all these legendary quarterbacks that had to sit and watch for a year, but they don't watch for a whole year anymore.
Mitchell Trubisky goes to Buffalo as the backup to Josh Allen. Buffalo's had a weird free agency. They lost a lot of good players. Gabe Davis, Poirier, they've lost some good players. Oh, I hate to say this because I know a lot of our downloads, like almost a third of our downloads come from Western New York and around the town called Elmira and Chemung. We got a spike up there, Tom. I'm feeling like that Buffalo Bills window to win the Super Bowl. You had some good players. They had some good players the last couple of years. They got purged in free agency. And now they're holding on for dear life.
Will it ever be open again? But you know, Josh Allen's at times, as you know, when you watch a team with Josh Allen, it's like a movie with Robert De Niro. Even if the movie sucks, it doesn't suck because Robert De Niro's in it. So everyone else rises up or the quality of the movie. Mm-hmm. Same thing with the Buffalo Bills and Josh Allen. There are at times when you watch the Buffalo Bills where it's like he's the early bloomer. On a Pop Warner team, he's the 8th grader that weighs 250 and then everyone else weighs 98 pounds. He plays like it's him against all the other 11 guys on defense, and he wins a lot of times. And so he will always have that team in contention because he can put the team on his back.
Drew Lock's in a good spot because he's going to the Giants. Giants, I think, have had a pretty good free agency. and he'll back up Daniel Jones. So there could be an opportunity there. One of my favorite guys, one of the greatest interviews I've ever done, which I didn't think would be great going into it, Radio Row Super Bowl, rookie year, Jameis Winston comes into the league, blew me away, fell in love with the guy. He was so good as a gentleman. Yes, sir.
Was that in San Francisco?
It might have been.
Yeah, and he, I think you had him and Tim Tebow on the same day, and you were like, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Because of their personalities, yeah.
He goes to Cleveland and backs up the guy who got in a lot of trouble in regards to Deshaun Watson for his transgressions.
Right.
And doesn't ever seem to play football. Never plays football, but gets $240 million guaranteed. So that's something to keep an eye on. So I hope Jameis Winston gets some starts. He gets $4 million, $4 million guaranteed. That's a lot of money. I don't care where you live. That's $4 million guaranteed for Jameis to hold the clipboard. I have a feeling he's going to play. Russell Wilson, $1.2 million. And then before we went on the air, Joe Flacco agrees to terms in Indianapolis, which he played not good. He played great last year.
He played great because remember I used to call it Joe Flacco syndrome anytime a quarterback forgot how to play football, and then he remembered again. And, you know, there's no sentiment in the NFL. Mm-hmm. They should just keep him sentimentally. They should just keep him for another year in Cleveland. And a lot of fans wish there was a little more sentiment in the NFL and you would just keep players for the heck of it. But it's Bill Walsh syndrome in the NFL, which is not a bad plan. It's not very sentimental. Get rid of a guy a year before you should rather than a year after you should have.
Yeah, and don't think I'm not looking at you if you're watching the podcast. I'm following Ian Rappaport and Adam Schefter. They're allowed to be on their phone during their live hits. They're all like this, looking for breaking news. So I'm looking for breaking news tonight. We wanted to get into the backup quarterbacks. I think we'll wrap it up soon with the three players, the running backs that blew me away.
Ooh,
Josh Jacobs left the Raiders.
I know.
He was a really good Raider.
Oh, could be the best running back in the NFL.
He's really good. Yeah, he missed the last four games of the year. I don't know what happened. Really disappointed that he left the Raiders for Green Bay, basically on a one-year deal. He got more money guaranteed on a one-year deal, but it's a one-year deal with a couple of, you know, Green Bay options to pick him up, which could be risky. Derrick Henry went to Baltimore.
Yeah, that's big.
To go from the Titans to Baltimore, that's rivals in the AFC, even though they're not in the same division. He's going to get the ball in December when Lamar Jackson's already got 90 yards in the second quarter.
Right.
And everybody's freaking out about Lamar Jackson running for another 30, and he's going to pound the living daylights out of someone.
And it's going to be tough, too, because you always have to have a guy on Lamar Jackson, and you always have to have a guy on Derrick Henry. But what are you doing with your spies? It's going to be really tough for defense.
As my son makes fun of me I'm looking at him in the other room, I don't like to run the football all the time. I like the video game, the Drew Brees, you know, the video game we're throwing. Baltimore is just going to punch in the mouth and run the ball because that's what they do. And they're telling you they're going to do it.
They play like they're Ohio State. Right? Yeah, they do. It's unbelievable. It's so strange that it worked. They're the antithesis of what's happening in the NFL, even though they have a video game quarterback who can run and throws lasers.
And how about Howie Roseman, the Super Bowl winning GM from the Philadelphia Eagles, basically telling the Giants, not only do we own you recently, we're going to take your best player in Saquon Barkley.
Right?
We're going to take your best player and we're going to rub salt into your wounds because the Giants stink. Thought the Giants again had a pretty good free agent period so far, but we want to talk about loyalty. There's no loyalty. You don't go from the Giants to the Eagles to the Giants, unless you get blown away by the offer. And the Eagles were just lying in wait. They knew the Giants didn't want to franchise tag Saquon. They didn't give him a great deal, and Philadelphia probably overpaid him, but really could have put the dagger into the Giants coming into this year.
Yeah, and there's no loyalty from owners to players who can fire you, and coaches to players who can fire you at any time. So it's in the NFL, it's not the other way around either. And, you know, you heard a lot of guys talking today in the NFL, you know, they say players only care about the money, but probably, you know, but I always argue against that. You know, then we make fun of them when they cry on the sidelines. I thought they only cared about the money. But in the NFL, you got to get it when you can get it because your career can end on any play.
Let's move to the NBA where traveling is now allowed. I'm going to go on a rant here, so let me go for about a minute on this.
Sure.
And I don't have a shot clock here on the Zoom, so you know, just give me hand signals or text me how much time we have. But
okay,
watched the NBA the other night, and I watched a Clipper game, and they literally walked, traveled. It's called traveling. On like six plays in a row. You call it the Euro step, the two steps, and the hop step.
Right.
You're allowed to take two steps, which was the most you could. And now you take a hop, and then the pivot foot moves. I mean, come on, NBA. You're losing fans by the droves. You're shooting threes and missing. You're allowing everyone to walk, travel during the game. Button this shit up. And the next time James Harden moves his pivot foot or Kawhi takes three steps, blow the whistle, go the other way, and call traveling, which is this mode right here. When I was a kid, you got called for traveling. The NBA forgot what the word traveling means, Tom.
Don't be the Grinch that stole the NBA, JT. About, I would say, 4 weeks ago. 4 weeks ago, random game. Might have been the end of January, early February. It's the Golden State Warriors and the LA Lakers. Okay, not so random. It was like a double or triple overtime game. It was one of the greatest basketball games I've ever seen in my life. Everybody was on their game, from Steph and LeBron, and Anthony Davis has been playing amazing this year. I'm having a ball watching the NBA this year. But there are, what'd you say?
You still have your secret parking spot?
Absolutely. I've always got a secret parking spot. You'll never catch me paying $10 for parking or $100 for parking when I'm paying. Believe me, I'm not going to give anybody my parking secrets.
One of our good friends owns the Lakers, Jay Moore.
Oh, my God.
He married in. I mean, my wife owns this beautiful house that you see. Where is Jay Moore inviting you and I to that little secret room where they serve prime rib, cocktails and all that?
I was a name drop alert. I was texting with Jay Moore yesterday.
I love Jay Moore.
Yes, it was his, what was his anniversary? It was a sober anniversary, you know, those 3 years. His 3-year sober anniversary. So we were texting about that. I had seen that. And, you know, he's one of those really good guys. I went to see him at the Improv, but he made us come out because he wanted to meet my party and say hi, and then walked us in. And when he texts me and hears me on the radio anchoring the news, he texts, you know, to let me know. He said, because he's a radio geek. He knew who we were. We always knew who he was because he was a famous comedian and Saturday Night Live guy. But we didn't know that he knew who we were. But he's a radio guy and loves radio. And so when he came to Fox Sports Radio, he was excited to meet us. And that was really cool.
Greg, me and Jay have something really cool in common. At our former employer, when they were staring us in the eyes, telling us how great we were, and we both knew we were going to get let go at some point or not renewed. Jay and I both knew that and could see right through those scoundrels.
Oh,
so that's
yes.
the bond that Jay and I
you got, you guys bond on that angst. you go skiing with that angst.
Poor Things came close. Shout out to Jimmy B, my best man. He's fat. He just loves Poor Things.
He called me while I was on the air anchoring the news to say it's a cinematic experience. See poor, but he was making sure that I would see it in the theater, which I'm going to do. First time in a long time, you've got better. For the first time in a long time, you've got better sun than me.
I got good sun. I just got back from Florida and Maui before that. I haven't taken my Just for Men shower yet, so I have jet black hair like Chris Myers. Not that I would do that. But, I've been traveling a little bit and did the Maui trip and just got back from a beautiful trip to Florida to see my in-laws and a fraternity golf trip. So I'm feeling good, man. It's been a while. Great to be back on the JT and Looney podcast.
And I noticed when you did go visit your in-laws in Florida, I didn't see old people in the pictures. I saw like 11 middle-aged guys. I didn't see your in-laws in those pictures.
Yeah. It was one of those trips, and we like to give lessons. Sometimes we mentor young broadcasters.
Right. Yeah.
Other times... Peter Schrager the other day thought I was kind of doing those little things I like to do when I take a shot at someone. And it wasn't Peter Schrager. And Peter Schrager thought it was me. What is that called again when I do those tweets?
Subtweets.
Subtweeting, which I'm very good at. But Peter guessed wrong because I love Peter Schrager. He's very good.
I think he's good too.
Yeah. I went on a trip, and this is for the young men who are listening, not the young girls.
Mm-hmm.
Any man who's not married yet or doesn't have a partner, when you put 25 years into a marriage, and you go back and visit your parents or your in-laws, you can do other things because you put 25 years into the marriage,
if
not more.
Oh, yes, of course, of course.
So this was a boy's trip. So if you look at the definition of a guy's trip that happens to be in the town of your in-laws, where your sister-in-law lives, I was able to see my niece, one of my two nieces, my brother-in-law, my sister-in-law, my mother, my father-in-law, everybody that's so important to me. But it was a trip where we were up early in the morning golfing. We golfed all day, and then we had dinners, 19 guys, so big dinner every night. You got to shower up. You got to get a little bit ready to go out. And then late nights, because, you know, I like to go out late.
That's true.
So it was one of those trips, but it was good to be back. Beautiful part of the country, St. Augustine, Ponce de Leon, the oldest city in America.
Yes.
The first Catholic Mass. I didn't go to Mass, but I gave the sign of the cross when I walked by, and had a good trip. So it's good to be back.
Yeah, it's the only times I now give the sign of the cross is when the plane takes off and when the plane's getting ready to land, because those are the really only two dangerous times. However, you know, it's unbelievable how safe it is to fly. There's never been more planes in the air. AI technology is amazing and keeps planes from falling out of the sky. When, in the 60s, 70s, and before that, they would, you know, there would be a couple of 747s or big planes full of people that would go down a year. And we were good with that. And now we were not good with that. None is what we want. And pretty much none is what we get. And that's very good.
Yeah. And I think that's really important because I finally, hooray for me, I finally had a flight, which was on time both ways. I took the dreaded red eye from Las Vegas, 10:50, through Atlanta, landed at Atlanta. Oh, this is what I wanted to share with you. I landed in Atlanta with my wife at 4:30 in the morning, and our flight didn't leave till 7. Okay. So we had a 2.5 hour layover, but with boarding, say 2 hours. And we got to Atlanta Hartsfield Airport, which is still the largest airport for traffic in America.
Okay.
I won't say the world, but clearly number one in America. And I got there in the morning where the entire working staff of the entire airport was coming to work. You could have eaten off the floors. They were waxing the floors, the toilets, the bathrooms, spotless, yeah. Like you're in the Four Seasons. And I looked and I told my wife, look at all these people working so hard to get the airport open for business. And I was very impressed at how clean it was, how great it was. Flights were on time coming home.
And it's got to be you and I being social creatures. If you're a bartender at the airport and you're a lover of people, you never get to, it's got to be hard. You don't get to see the same people every day like you do at the corner bar.
Yeah.
If you're working at any other bar in America, you get to know people. Hey, here comes Margarita, right? Here comes, even if you don't know by their names, here comes Rum and Coke. And I like that guy. But that, at the airport, you don't get to know the same people and see the same people. It's got to be rough in a lot of ways working at the, and people are angry for some reason. They forget the romance of flying in a tube through the sky. People used to be excited and get dressed up like they're going to church when they fly. And now people go through the airport and they're mad. And I don't understand.
Yeah, I'd like to be nice to people in the airport. People on the plane are interesting. Oh, another airline.
Yeah, they're not there to serve you French fries or peanuts. They're there to save your life in case something goes wrong. Don't stop treating them like waitresses and waiters.
A little airport etiquette on the plane. We landed and I was in row 30F because I like the window, like on the window. So it was only about 10 rows behind me or however it was. And the plane landed and people finally got to the gate and got up. And we had that lone guy who likes to run through the aisle.
Oh,
you know, the guy who moves up 10 rows for no reason.
Yes.
And then everybody gets up and he gets stuck there. So I was staring his ass down and he had someone behind him, another guy who was kind of in his group. So by the time he got past me and the line started inching up, so where I had to get up, I took a class in high school on how to get your ass up and your luggage out in one
me
move
too.
And grab it. And the guy was getting closer to try to cut me on the airplane. And I pointed at him and I said, don't move. And a couple of people were like smiling, told the guy, don't move. Your row it's not your row yet. We got to get there. That's etiquette, right? You can't go before the row.
Absolutely. Everyone's got to relax and just wait your turn. And, you know, when you learn, wait your turn, elementary school. And so it's just elementary school rules. Take turns and wait your turn and be polite. Maybe that was just Catholic schools. I don't know. I know you went to godless public schools. When you went to your godless public schools, I'm going to heaven faster for you because of that, faster than you. Did you learn etiquette, take turns when you were a kid? I
Yeah,
know
I learned etiquette from my grandmothers who were
Oh,
alive
okay.
for most of my
Mine
youth.
too.
I
Oh,
learned
yeah.
from them. Congratulations to Oppenheimer, best actor, Cillian Murphy, best supporting actor, which is my favorite award, went to Robert Downey Jr. He beat Robert De Niro. Not only did he win, he beat Robert De Niro,
Right,
and I think
right.
he should have.
And
Emma
how great was
Stone.
his acceptance speech? Robert Downey Jr. making fun of his foibles when he was younger, thanking his lawyer for getting him out of jail and helping him with bond. And there's pictures over this because it was hard to insure him when he was younger and getting arrested.
I watched all of the Academy Awards because I was on a plane,
Oh,
and I
wow,
watched
right.
the whole thing. I watched every second of it, and it was okay. I still got some issues with the broadcast, the breaks
Right.
between major awards, but
Oh,
overall, it
I
was
know. Because
entertaining.
remember, I was texting with you, and they give away a best supporting actor or actress early, and then you can get to go work out for 2 hours and come back and not miss anything.
The JT and Looney podcast. Follow us all the time. I'm also on YouTube, JT the Brick YT, Looney on TV,
I'm
JT the
enjoying
Brick
you on
on Twitter.
Instagram. Instagram, you're great.
I
Your
love
little hits.
Instagram.
Ah.
Thanks for joining us. We got a new podcast coming up next week where we'll recap free agency and move on to the draft.
Thank you for listening to all 36 minutes and 36 seconds of the JT and Looney podcast brought to you by BetOnline and Modelo. I got to make sure it times out to 36, 36. Okay, there we go.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.